Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob, Pete, and Davey are at the round table chopping it up on a Friday. The fantasy playoffs are around the corner. The boys throw out the moves to make to win the crown. DFS plays best bets, the works. Ring it.
How's it going, everybody? Friday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Welcome back to the listeners, and welcome back to you guys, Robbie Reese and Davey Satriano, back from California. Great to be with you guys.
What's up, Davey? How was Cali?
California was great. A little birthday weekend. We saw one Devils win, one Devils overtime loss, but we saw some hockey, some sun. It was great.
How about some Rangers after last night? Five goals for Mika Zibanejad. Is having a full-fledged breakout season. A lot of us have liked that player for a long time. And, I mean, he has reached some kind of other level the past few games.
Yeah, it's incredible, Pete. And I was thinking about it during the Rangers game last night. Like, this could be one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference next year. And I have no problem saying that now. Like, they only need maybe a couple depth pieces to be an absolute contender. They have a threat on line one and a threat on line two. And they have some good depth scoring too, Davey.
Back to Zibanejad, though. I think he has the goal in like 10 of 12 games, 8 in his past 3, and he has 5 power play goals in the last 3 games. And also, as a fantasy owner, not for me, but people who do have him, we know he plays all positions. He scores on the shorthanded power play. He's a great defensive forward, so he's like the full package.
And maybe, who knows, maybe he'll be the next Rangers captain. I think that's probably overdue for a player like that. But yeah, Zibanejad has four-point games this year.
Wow.
And then the Rangers as a team have 3 5-point games between him and Panarin, and we all remember Tony DeAngelo's.
Yeah.
So, like, I was thinking, I mean, in the context of, like, modern Rangers history, like, this is probably the best offense that they've had in, like, 20-plus years. You guys agree with that?
In a long, long time. I mean, I was looking at their Twitter feed yesterday. I think it was the anniversary of the Martin St. Louis trade, Pete. Uh-huh. And I remember in the comment section of that tweet, everybody was chirping the Rangers for going after St. Louis and trading away Ryan Callahan. But it just goes to show how different that team was when they had Stepan, when they had Callahan, and now totally revamped roster with elite scoring prowess.
Tony DeAngelo, 52 points. The first Ranger in 20 seasons since Brian Leetch to have 50. No Ranger had 50 points. So you're right, Pete. Not only are the guys getting it done, the offensive guys, but their defensemen are chipping in too.
I mean, and definitely of like the Lundqvist era. I mean, this is still technically the Lundqvist era, even though he's not playing much these days. But like some of the best offensive players that the Rangers have had in this era were like, what, Derek Brassard and Derek Stepan and Rick Nash and Marian Gaborik. I mean, they have two guys right now that are in the top 10 in NHL points per game, which
now,
is insane.
Quick thought here. Do they have a shot, Davey? They're 2 points behind the Isles for a wild card spot. They played one more game than the Isles, so.
I would say they 100% have a shot. They're 2 points. Look at the teams in front of them. The Islanders are slumping, Columbus, Carolina. Like, none of these teams really seem to want it, I guess. They're not doing what they should. The Rangers had lost 3 in a row before yesterday, but maybe this springboards them. And 2 points, is even though they've played one more game, it's not a hard thing to make up. And if they made the playoffs, I don't care who you are, Tampa Bay, Boston, I wouldn't want to see them with what they have.
I wouldn't want to see them either, especially when Shesterkin comes back. And it sounds like 4 to 6 weeks for Chris Kreider, so maybe right around the first round of the playoffs, this guy could come back and provide a first-round lift to this team. So very dangerous team if you're looking at, like, long shots to win the Cup. They're at least, like, they have to be mentioned here, I think.
And I don't think it's about not wanting it, Davey. I think it's about not having it. The Islanders don't have it. The Carolina Hurricanes, too many injuries. They don't have it. So I think the Rangers do have it and certainly would love to see them in round one of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, right now, that comparison we were talking about a week ago, like Islanders versus Rangers, it's not even a question, even without Kreider. So, yeah, it's going to be probably down to one spot between Carolina, who's still without both of their goalies, without Dougie Hamilton. Sammy Vatanen has had a setback in his injury, so the Hurricanes are a mess. And they'll play the Islanders on Saturday, so at least one team is guaranteed to win, right?
Some other fantasy storylines here, Davey, wanted to pick your brain about. Alex Stalock emerging at the true number one in Minnesota, probably the best goalie to own over the past week and a half here, numbers-wise. Are you buying into the Wild and Stalock in fantasy?
I think he started 6 games in a row. Someone actually this morning said, I have Mackenzie Blackwood would. Should I drop him for Alex Stalock? And I said, that's a tough one, but I probably would just because can Blackwood really keep this up? Schneider has a shutout, so maybe they'll throw him in there. But the Wild really have no reason to start anyone other than Alex Stalock right now.
We've gotten a lot of fan questions on Stalock. James was all over him in the waiver wire piece. A lot of people picked him up over the weekend, and people are picking him up more and more every day. One that I saw, like, Bobrovsky's banged up, Bobrovsky or Stalock. I mean, you almost have to push the envelope at this stage of the season on Stalock. And another one, like, I know two people asked last night, Samsonov or Stalock. I mean, that's not even a question anymore.
It's 100% Stalock. I'm glad I picked him up. I feel good about that. Now, Davey, I have to ask you, Tristan Jarry, another guy I'm getting a ton of questions on Twitter about. Matt Murray's gotten the bulk of starts lately. His numbers are still horrible, though. I mean, he's getting wins now, but he's below a .900 save percentage. This is like a Martin Jones of the Eastern Conference. So if you do have Tristan Jarry, are you still going to hold out on him with the thought, hey, if they get pummeled by Washington on Saturday, which is a real possibility, are they going to go back to Jarry, and then is he going to win your fantasy championship possibly?
I think you have to hold on to him, especially this time of year. Next week pretty much starts most fantasy playoffs. Jarry's a guy I would want. I wouldn't want Matt Murray. He won bad start, and you could lose your matchup. So even if he's not the starter, he's going to play at least one game a week, and that's the numbers I would want, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely hold on to Jarry. I know it's tough when a guy's not playing very often, but he's still got, what, like 920-plus save percentage, and it hasn't really been a question in terms of the quality. Even if you're looking at recency bias and trying to make a move with the trigger, I wouldn't cut Tristan Jarry unless you're in the most dire of circumstances.
This really seems to be the position that is goalie that's getting the most traction on Twitter right now. I think a lot of people are kind of panicking with some injuries going around, like the Markstrom injury has been detrimental, as we predicted it would be. Anybody could see that for the Canucks. Now Demko struggling to carry the load. It's not his fault, like we mentioned, but you know, that position on Twitter seems to be the one where people are most nervous about, and I've got to say it, you need to make the move now. Even if your playoffs don't start until Monday, get these moves now. I don't care if Stalock loses over the weekend. That's going to be their guy for the rest of the season. So do your posturing right now.
Well, the Canucks got passed last night by the Wild, right? In the standings, there's a five-team logjam separated by 1 point, and Minnesota jumped the other four teams last night. So, I mean, that team, like Zach Parise has 25 goals very quietly. We thought he might get traded. He keeps scoring. Kevin Fiala is one of the breakout players of the season. And like Minnesota has a real chance to make the playoffs right now. It's insane.
Minnesota has a real chance. I think Chicago does too. We were talking about the goalies. And how about Corey Crawford? He's still out there in a lot of leagues. I think he's at like a 920 something save percentage since January 1st or something like that. He's won four in a row. I mean, that's the kind of guy where I would definitely take him in my fantasy playoffs if I needed a goalie. Like you said, Samsonov, these guys are struggling. Crawford is a proven guy. He's playing well. I picked him up in our league, Pete, because I thought I might need to win to get into the playoffs. It turns out that I still need to win, and Crawford's gotten two. But I had Sergei Bobrovsky. I said, this is the guy I'm going to trust in the playoffs? Yeah. So Corey Crawford, welcome to the club.
Yeah, you have to start asking yourself questions if Sergei Bobrovsky is still on your fantasy team. I don't blame you for the inner dialogue there at all, Davey. I would say a couple other names here I'm looking at is Cam Talbot for the Flames, Pete. I think just as much up and down as we've seen that club have all season long, it's a real possibility that they could ride him for the rest of the season. So if Crawford's not available, I'd go after Cam Talbot. And then once you go beneath the surface, Brian Elliott's another guy you could maybe pick up. The only caveat there is Carter Hart is the true number one. So I think Cam Talbot rises to my list of next best available goalie.
I like Talbot. Riddick, I don't have Riddick in any leagues, but I know he just dropped out of our top 25 goalie rankings. He's been in there for most of the season, but it's reaching that point where if a timeshare guy's cutting into your load for a fringe playoff team without a ton of goal support, I mean, it's like Riddick's value has plummeted here in the past couple of weeks. For another guy to mention, UC Saros had a shutout last night against the Dallas Stars. Nashville has been wildly inconsistent. I don't really trust them from a fantasy standpoint outside of Yossi and Ryan Ellis. They're two defensemen, but I mean, he has to be mentioned because he has fully emerged, I think, at this point past Pekka Rinne.
Well, just mentioning Brian Elliott, Hart is the number one, but he plays well at home. He stinks on the road. Brian Elliott's going to get those road starts. I mean, they played the Capitals in a huge game, and they started Brian Elliott, not Carter Hart. It was a road game. So if the Flyers are on the road, Brian Elliott's going to get those starts.
And he played really well in that game, too. So that kind of gave me that stamp of approval where, you know, if they've got three or four games in a week and he's getting two starts, I mean, that's well worth your money right there. And the Flames, if you look at their schedule, they're only playing two games next week. So, hey, I mean, Cam Talbot, if he gets one of those, you're not going to get a lot of fantasy value for that first round of the playoffs. But this is the time, going back to it, you got to make the moves now, because the waiver wire, as we've seen all year since week two, boys, has been utter crap if you didn't make your moves early. So, you know, get on this now, just to not to beat a dead horse, but seriously.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly for some of these waiver wire flyers at the goalie position over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, back to Carter Hart. Maybe that's what you mentioned about the road stuff. I know the Flyers as a team have gotten a lot better on the road. They're like 6-2-2 or something in their past 10 road games, I saw. But Carter Hart is getting really close to the top five goalie rankings. And that, it almost seems like once he gets in there, he could just stay there for years, right?
Yeah, I think he's definitely, I wouldn't say top five, definitely top 10 right now. But
I think he's number six right now in our rankings.
If he can round it out, he's 19-2 at home, 1.67, 930. And on the road, he's like 4-10-2, under 900, 3.67. So that's a huge disparity. If this guy can clean it up on the road, yeah, top five next season for sure.
Well, let's think just to this season. I mean, playoff-wise, I think the best case for the Flyers, they capture that number two spot in the Metro. They lock up the home ice, so they have more home games than their opponent. And if they play Pittsburgh in round one, we've seen those series before. I think back to, gosh, when I was at Penn State, Pete, and it was like Sean Couturier going crazy against Crosby and everything. Was like 2011.
2012, yeah. When the Flyers beat them.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen.
They beat them in like five games or something.
Yeah, it could absolutely. I would be a great bet for round one. I know it would still be an upset, even though the Flyers are at home just based on the Penguins' pedigree, but I really would like that, and I think Hart will get it done if they have more home games than road.
I mean, the way some of their younger players are playing right now, too. I mean, Provorov's taking his game another step forward. I mean, you think back to last year. Remember, that was a total dumpster fire of a defensive season for the Flyers. And, like, they've righted the ship. Like, big credit to AV. Big credit to the patience with their core. They didn't blow it up. Right? All those guys are still there. Voracek, Giroux, Couturier. I mean, and now they have this breath of youth. It's
you mentioned their defense, though. Shane Gostisbehere is being scratched. So what does that tell you? This is how good they are on defense now that they, or maybe it's just how bad he's been. That they he doesn't play, and they're doing just fine.
Davey bringing the fire on a Friday. I love it. Fridays are great because if you re-listen to these Friday episodes, we never hold back. This is kind of like the real filter, you know, non-existent filter on a Friday.
And I saw the Flyers have the most goals in the NHL since January 1st.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're putting together a nice streak right now in terms of wins. The goal scoring's been excellent. The power play's been better. The road success has been there. It was totally absent for, you know, prior to January 1st. So look for them to be a major player here entering the playoffs. I don't think any of us saw that coming. We thought maybe they would have a breakout season, but not in the playoffs.
Well, yeah. how about the team that they just caught, the Capitals? I mean, what's going on with them? What, 4 wins in 13? I mean, they're sinking. But Kovalchuk had what, 2 or 3 points yesterday? I was talking to you guys about this because I own him on all three teams, and I said, should I drop him? I wanted to, I didn't because he played yesterday. And now I'm thinking, should I hold on to him because he had a few points? Is it worth it, guys? I don't
absolutely hold on to him. I mean, you got to look at the Caps as a team that. The 700 OV goal was the worst thing that could have happened to that team. I mean, they talked about that at length for 3 weeks, right in the time when the Caps were trying to get their game back.
So did NHL.com, by the way.
I mean, I feel like we are to blame here partially for that. I'll take the credit on that one. But no, seriously, I mean, that was a bad thing to happen to that club overall because there was way too attention on one individual player versus the whole club. I think they're going to have a great response Saturday against the Pens, a very good matchup, which, of course, they always seem to get up for that one. But one thing that does worry me about the club, they take the most penalties in the entire league. They lead the league in penalties. You cannot win games if you're killing penalties because guess what? Ovi's not on the PK. Kuzi's not on the PK. Backstrom's not on the PK much because they don't want him blocking shots. So you're going to give the Rangers 6 minutes of power play time in the last 7 minutes of a hockey game, and you think the craziest part to me, they tied the game. The Caps tied the game on a 6-on-5. I know Mika scored 5 goals in a game, but the Caps, the fact they even tied that was ridiculous.
I know. It's insane. And the fact that they would, like, be undisciplined like that. I mean, they got they got beat pretty badly against the Flyers a few days prior, right?
Well, the same thing happened. They took 10 minutes of penalties in the second period.
I know. It's insane. And like, the Rangers will make you pay. Like, they have the best power play in the NHL since January 1st. So,
I mean, the worst team to put on the power play.
The worst team that you could do that to.
Right. It's incredible. And then as soon as the player comes out of the box, you have John Carlson cross-checking Brendan Lemieux in the face. I mean, it's like, at a certain point, you just have to ask what's really going on there. But, hey, let's say this, Davey. I think parity is a good thing in the NHL. I think it's great for the Metro especially. And all three of these clubs, Pittsburgh, Washington, and Philly, I think it's great that we're seeing a dogfight here, because coming into the season, I didn't think the Metro was going to be tight like this.
I mean, these are teams that over the past decade have been, right, like the Capitals have beaten up on the Flyers many times, beaten up on the Rangers, regular season or playoffs, and you're seeing a changing of the guard here, so it's going to be interesting for the playoffs, especially to take these teams more seriously. You're so used to just, you know, penciling in the Penguins or the Capitals into your conference finals from that division, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen this year. You don't know.
Well, before the
Capitals
season,
are a little flawed.
The Capitals
sure.
are flawed, but before the season, I mean, who thought Columbus, Carolina would be in the race, and who thought that the Devils would be where they are? So you're right. The Metro Division is not looking the way people probably thought it would. But you said it's a great thing. We love it.
But back to Kovalchuk, like, me and Robin, our joint league, we're in second place right now. We're going for the title. And we had to choose between Kovalchuk and Athanasiou. Mm-hmm. And Athanasiou's ice time has been really far down. I mean, between 9 to 12 minutes a game the past few. He's been moved off McDavid's line. I mean, yeah, I think fourth line a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I think we made the right call.
Yeah, and I would suggest fantasy owners follow suit on that one, too. I know we were real high on picking him up. Maybe he's playing banged up. Like, we don't know if he's a little bit injured or whatnot. But
right.
I think, just going back to this trade, depth-wise, it's a great move for the Oilers fantasy-wise. Sometimes these moves just don't work out, boys. And this is the time you got to make the cut. And I'm glad, Pete, that we did keep Covey and moved on from AA.
And they have other options, too. It's not like Athanasiou or bust. They have Cassian back. James Neal was playing a little top line minutes. But, of course, they lost a big game to the Blackhawks. And the one guy on the Blackhawks I think we need to recognize is back in the fantasy mix is Dylan Strome. I mean, Robbie picked him on the network yesterday. He had another big game. He's been piling up the points lately, guys.
I'm real back on the Blackhawks and Dylan Strome. I wish this happened a couple weeks earlier so that we could see Chicago, one of the best markets in the playoffs, for like a final run with Pat Kane and Taves. We're not going to see that this year, sadly, but I do think fantasy-wise, you got to look at Strome and then Duncan Keith on the back end. Two of these guys could really make the difference for you. And Davey, this is nothing new. Past two seasons now, we've seen the Hawks caught fire real late in the season.
Yeah, they seem to do this, but also DeBrincat had a couple goals yesterday. I just dropped him like a couple weeks ago. I was like, the guy had 30-something goals last season. He's going to turn it around. He hasn't, but he's got two now, and like you said, they're in there right there for the wild card race, so they're going to be on fire, and they're going to try to get claw and scratch their way. So maybe,
without Lehner, though, sadly.
Right, so maybe the Cat has a couple good goals here and wins some championships.
They're only 4 points out, though. I mean, it's not a conclusion that they're done. I mean, it felt like they were done, like, before the trade deadline. They traded Robin Leonard, but they're 4-1 since and have the most goals in the league mm-hmm. since the trade deadline. So, like,
I just feel like as soon as we get high on them, like, it's like the Flyers, too. I feel like those two teams, more than any team, and the Rangers, you can throw them in there.
Yeah.
As soon as we start pumping the tires of these clubs, they go on, like, these total skids where they look lost. So I'm just saying that, Pete, in kind of like a reverse jinx where I want to see Chicago in the playoffs, but I don't know if we're actually going to see it.
Probably I'm sharing not. A mic with Davey. They're going to be on fire. They're going to be on fire, Davey. I love it. I got to isolate that audio.
So, Davey, are you you like the Hawks to make the playoffs, or what do you think?
I had them in the playoffs for our preseason.
We did,
so
too.
We did, too.
Yeah. They're going to be on fire.
Well, so Vancouver is the team that is kind of holding everybody up here. If they keep losing, it's wide open for Winnipeg, Nashville, Arizona, and Chicago. If Vancouver starts winning, those teams are out. So it's really totally dependent on this one team. You know, I mean, that's the reality. And we talked about Markstrom being out. That was the glue that was holding them together. I don't care how good Quinn Hughes has been, how good their offense has been, and Toffoli. It's the goalie for that team.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a contract year. He has quite a bit of leverage right now when he when he negotiates his contract. The team has really fallen apart. Even losing home games now. It's uncharacteristic for them.
I think the Coyotes, you mentioned them, but I really think they're done. They've played a lot more games than other teams. It's sad. We were hoping it'd be nice to see them in, but they're the one team in that logjam that I think probably has the least chance to make it.
One thing I wanted to mention about the Wild, who are, you know, 1 point ahead of those bunch of teams, like, can you ever remember a team selling at the deadline and then, like, making a playoff push and then
making
it?
And firing their coach?
Yeah, and fire. I mean, I don't even know if that Boudreaux thing was necessary, but clearly it's making a difference. And I mean, it's just like crazy.
And then Eric Staal didn't even play last night too, and they still won. Their number one center didn't play. He plays like 20 minutes a game for them. They are finding ways to win like they have been all season in inexplicable ways.
That could have been one of the best speeches of all time, right? Bill Guerin says, what did he say? If you keep losing, there's going to be more. Whatever he said,
yeah.
When the team thought, hey, we're sellers.
It was really memorable.
I can't remember it. But basically, he was like, yeah, we're just going to blow up this team. If you guys, but he said they weren't punting on the season. Everyone thought, he's just saying that. And look at them now.
Well, you need accountability. I don't care if you're a contender, if you're a wild card team, Davey. You need that kind of accountability, especially at the trade deadline. You can't take anything for granted in this league. As soon as you take a period off, next thing you know, you wake up and you're slipping in the standings. So good credit to Bill Guerin for sure for making the adjustments at the trade deadline and having the guts to maybe move on from Gabby there. So, hey, I'm rooting for this Wild team, Pete. I think that market come the playoff season could be really interesting.
Yeah, and even a guy no one ever talks about, Ryan Suter, plays some of the heaviest minutes in the entire league and is up to 47 points with 10-plus games to go on the season. I mean, if you're a 50-point defenseman in this league, you're really doing it right compared to the rest of the scope of your position. But to almost hit 50 points before you're even in, you know, the 70-game mark of the season is really impressive and one of the best defenseman stories of the league, very quietly.
Yeah, tied for ninth in points at the position, logging close to 30 minutes per game, which is utterly ridiculous like he has for the past 10 years. I don't know physically how you can do that. So, yeah, crazier things have happened, Davey, than the Wild making the playoffs.
There would be something, though, if they did get in. And once you're in the playoffs, anything happens, although I don't think they would get out of the first round. But who knows? We've seen upsets before.
So switching gears, going ahead to the weekend slate for fantasy, you always look at the back-to-backs. And the Wild are one of six teams with Saturday, Sunday back-to-backs. There's Carolina, Columbus, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and Tampa Bay. So one guy on Columbus that I wanted to mention, we haven't talked about him a ton, but Nick Foligno is one of the biggest risers. I picked him up last night, actually. I've been on him for a while, but I picked him up last night. I dropped Samsonov. I needed category coverage. Yeah. I needed lineup flexibility. I needed hits. He provides everything, and he's been scoring too.
He's absolutely the best waiver wire pickup if you need a well-rounded player that's guaranteed 20-plus minutes per game as a forward down the stretch here. Davey, I know in our joint league, it's an auto draft league, or it was for us because we missed the draft.
Both in the playoffs, but, though. We both somehow got in the playoffs.
We've made some good moves all season, but I think in that league, you know, which is a standard league, that Foligno is a slam dunk pickup because he's going to cover every single category, even plus minus for you, Davey. And I just checked my current week-to-week matchup. I am down in the hits category right now, and I just wish that Foligno was available so that I could pick him up and get that little boost.
He's a guy that I've loved for years because of the category coverage, and even though the scoring has been down in recent seasons, you're right. He's going to play the minutes, definitely going to be physical, get the hits, penalty minutes if you have that stuff. So you're right. This is the type of player, well-rounded. He's gonna be great to plug in there if you need some category coverages.
And the scoring has come back. I think he's got 7 points in his past seven games. Mm-hmm. So that's really good stuff for Foligno, and he's getting closer to the top 100 overall in those leagues out there that are full categories with block shots and hits and scoring and plus minus and all that stuff.
Now, piggybacking off Foligno, I know Corpy and Merzlikens are available in most leagues now. I mean, they just haven't returned a lot of value. Merzlikens has been on the shelf. Her and then Corpy. Seen a fair start since he's come back from injury. Mm-hmm. Davey, I gotta ask you, man, like, if either of these guys are available and you're in a thin, shallow league on the waiver wire, are you getting a Corpy? Are you getting a Merzlikens? Hopefully they can make the playoffs, or are you passing?
I would like Jonas Corposalo, and this isn't really a surprise because we know I love Elvis, but I did say sell him while he's hot. I don't even think he's had a win since then. Maybe one. He had the injury. He was like 0-3-2. Mm-hmm. Corposalo was an all-star before the guy got hurt. It was his crease. He led them this season, and I think if they're to make the playoffs, he's going to be the guy that's going to get the starts until he falters. So I would pick up him personally.
I just still worry about that team without – I know Atkinson might be coming back soon, but Bjorkstrand's out for the season. Mm-hmm. Seth Jones probably out for the season, unfortunately. We haven't heard much of an update on that. Without Seth Jones, that defense, that goaltending is a completely different picture, and I don't trust it for fantasy at all.
Swinging back to the slate here, on Friday night, the Avalanche are visiting the Canucks, and I know we got just a new review today from a listener who – kind of chirped us for saying that we weren't giving Colorado enough credit for potentially winning the division. I agree. I mean, I think it's, you know, to say that St. Louis is locked and loaded is a bit unfair. I mean, especially with the injuries that, you know, we've discussed with Colorado at length this year. So, you know, I just wanted to say we see you and we hear your concerns. And I agree. I mean, that's a very fair point, especially for their matchup tonight. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Colorado completely blew the doors off that place.
Colorado's a strong road team. Even when they're not healthy, they can bring the goaltending. They can bring the scoring any given night. They have, considering all their injuries all year, they have the third best points percentage in the NHL behind the Bruins and the Blues. And honestly, the more that I watch Dallas, I really do worry about their scoring in the playoffs. I know that their style is conducive to the playoffs and they're built for it. But if you can't score the big goals when you need to, like last year, Game 7, it's still fresh in my mind. I think right now I would favor Colorado in a series over Dallas. That's me.
Best two road teams in the league. Can you name them?
I say the Capitals are probably first. And since we're talking about it, Avalanche maybe?
Nice. Good job. It's actually Avs 1, Caps 2 now. Nice. But they're separated by just, I think, a point. So, right. Yeah. So when you're the best road team in the league or the second best road team, it's going to bode very well for you. It means you are a complete team. So I think both those teams do not have any flaws that I can see that would cost them a round. You know, not that they have perfect rosters, but to lose in 7 games, I can't see either of those teams dropping like that. So, and going back to that game 7 last year, Pete, I mean, Gabe Landeskog was going for a line change. He was halfway on the bench when that goal was reversed. So I think, I mean, they were one goal away from tying that game up. That was the tying goal. They should have advanced, you know, in my opinion, on that kind of fluky play. But, you know, that comes again this year. They're not going to lose a series like that. So I would put my chips on the Avs table for sure. Now, granted, I do think Dallas is a great club and St. Louis is too. But, you know, Colorado has proven to all of us this year that they can withstand just about anything.
Yeah, fair points all around. One guy on the Avalanche I think everybody needs to take notice of is Namestnikov, because he's playing with MacKinnon and Landeskog. He has goals in consecutive games. I mean, this is a guy that has, I think, 15 or 16 goals on the season. He was playing for a bad, bad team in Ottawa, was not even really playing in their top six at different points. So, yeah, I think Namestnikov, with the change of scenery, is one of those sneaky guys in fantasy that could really put you over the top.
Yeah, no one's really talked about the job that Jared Bednar has done, but how about Joe Sakic? In the offseason, you mentioned they were one goal away from the Western Conference final.
Yep.
And what does he do? He goes out and gets Adamskoy, Nazem Kadri, four guys. Mm-hmm. Ryan Graves, who played a little last year for them, I think, but he's been a revelation on defense for them. So he knew what they needed, and goalie too. And they've just fixed all the holes that they've had. And you're right, they're a cup contender right now.
I was just going to say to sprinkle some DFS players, but candidly, like my lineups, Davey, the past couple weeks here, I think I'm either playing too much DFS or I'm totally lost, man. Like, I have not cracked a top 100, I think, 3 weeks. So I might just have to sit out this segment here.
Well, if you didn't have Mika Zibanejad yesterday, I think he outscored my entire lineup.
Well, I like Austin Matthews against the Kings, and I love it. They come out, and Brendan Shanahan says, we're very close to being an elite team. And then you lose in a shootout to the Kings.
1-0. 0-0. They didn't score any goals against the Kings. But they're elite. They're elite, so.
That's nuts. And now the Kings are playing, the Leafs are playing the Ducks now. Uh-huh. So now it's going to be Jack Campbell. It's like they didn't want to play Campbell against his former team, but like it didn't, I mean, it didn't end up mattering anyway. They couldn't score a goal. It doesn't matter, right?
So
who the goalie is.
To summarize DFS picks-wise, I don't know if I can go back to the Leafs. I'd love to. I think that's a great spot for them against the Ducks. But, you know, I do believe in some of these bounce-back type games, so I really think it's hard. An 82-game season is hard, and you're going to go through ups and downs. And, you know, hey, come playoff time, if the Leafs win a round, no one's going to care. No one's going to think back, oh, my God, the shootout loss in L.A. No one cares. You know, like, let's be honest, boys. At the 82 games, a lot happens, so I'm back in on the Leafs, full chips on in the middle of the table.
I mean, there's nobody behind them that can catch them for that third spot, right? In the Atlantic Division.
There's no pressure.
The Florida Panthers have lost 8 straight home games. I mean,
wow.
Talk about an absolute dud considering the high hopes we had for that team this year. So the Leafs will make the playoffs. How far they go depends on how hot they get at the right time, but yeah, clearly some kinks to still work out, but they have the time to do so.
Well, hopefully for the Panthers, they have, like, end the season with 10 road games because they're only, what, 4 points back? They could technically catch them,
but you're right.
It's going to be trouble now. You can't lose that many in a row at home.
So you're going to the Devils Blues game, Davey. Do you like a certain team in that matchup?
I like the St. Louis Blues, and I'm going to tell you, if Jake Allen isn't starting this game, then Craig Berube might need to lose his job. Jake Allen, 7-0-0, his numbers against the Devils, .960 save percentage. He's allowed 9 goals in 7 games.
Wow, all right.
2 shutouts.
DFS lineup lock.
You got to know that as a coach, right? I mean, Binnington, give him the night off. It's the Devils, whatever. So, yeah, Jake Allen should be in the crease tonight. I don't care how much money he is. I put my money on him.
The Blues have won 8 in a row. Craig Berube can do whatever he wants, but yeah, I think, and obviously what they did last year. But I like the new line combination with Jaden Schwartz, Ryan O'Reilly, and Braden Schenn moving back to the wing. It's a stacking option, right? It's like when you have a loaded top line like that, you draft 2 of them at the minimum, I think.
Schenn has a goal in 5 straight. I saw him the other day at the Rangers game when I was covering that game. And just
I'm at every game.
Everything's going in for that guy. He was trying to pass to O'Reilly, you know, because he was wide open, and it just hits off Gorgiev's skate and goes in. I mean, when you're hot, you're hot, and he could get 30 goals.
All right, well, pay attention to that wrinkle there. And Allen's price is only $7,600, so you might have just won a lot of people some money tonight. I'll try and do the same. Michael Backlund's the guy I'd look at. Calgary versus the Coyotes. Very good matchup on paper here for 2 clubs that need a win. So I like Backlund. He's really risen his game, Pete. He's climbing up in the forward ranks. And this is a player that you really, even if you're in a season-long league, you got to pay attention to Michael Backlund.
Definitely Backlund, Mangiapane are great DFS players. Even if you're in a shallow league and you're not quite considering players that deep, I mean, these are guys that have become lineup locks for the Calgary Flames, who are creating some separation here for themselves, you know, ahead of that logjam in the Western Conference, which is really good to see. I'm looking at the Vegas Golden Knights. They've been rolling lately, except for that game where Fleury gave up 4 goals on like 17 shots faced. Robin Leonard's kind of pushing his tail a little bit right now, so Fleury is going to go at the Winnipeg Jets, who need to win that game. I think we were talking about this yesterday, Rob, right? Like, we're leaning Hellebuck in this matchup at home.
Major, I just have a weird feeling about that. I think the Jets are going to hang around, go out with a fight if they don't make it. So certainly look at the Jets as a good value club, especially against a hard opponent in the Knights.
And Hellebuck's .922, 3 shutouts at home this year. He's been a good home goalie for years. I don't think Winnipeg's done quite yet, so yeah, I like it.
Sign me up for the Jets tonight. I'm on board with that. Money on the Jets. Agree with Rob. Agree with Pete. Let's go, Jets.
By the way, what's going on with this Cale Makar injury? I mean, the last thing that team needs is another injury, but I know it's coming ahead of this game. That's a potential Makar versus Quinn Hughes game with the Canucks and the Avalanche. It's unfortunate.
Well, it's sad to read that Cale Makar did not travel for this one. Total bummer, which is never a great sign. But hey, the Avs, you know, they have also created some separation. They are comfortably in either second or third at worst in the division. So, you know, if this is a time to get the guys a little extra rest, some load management, it might not be the worst thing. Now, granted, the injury, as we know, is an upper body injury. Never a great thing either heading into this time of year. But I think they'll be all right. We've seen them withstand this before, Davey.
They've done this with forwards and defensemen, even with the goalie. So I think you're right. There's no reason to play him. You've pretty much locked up a playoff spot. Save him for when you really need him. But it is upsetting that we won't get to see these guys go head-to-head.
Now, for Saturday's slate, like, are there any watch games for you? Just looking at the big board and stuff like that. Like, I know I'm looking at, you know, Lightning Bruins is a rematch from earlier in the week. I want to see those two top guys go against each other again with Tuukka Rask and Vasilevsky, baby.
That's a total watch game. And the game that's funny, though, that's oozing with storylines, it's actually Senators-Sharks. I'll tell you why. The Senators have both of their first-round picks, their own and then the Sharks. So that is going to be a toe-to-toe dogfight. The winner, well, the Sens will win that game no matter what. If the Sharks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either way, they're winning. So I'm looking at the pesky Sens, who had a nice little upset against the Isles on Thursday as a team that could knock off the Sharks, who I will have to say Martin Jones has been better lately, but that is more of an outlier than anything.
I'm looking at the 2 o'clock game, which I'll be watching right here from the office. Predators at Stars. Rob, if you want to join me tomorrow.
Swing by.
Sit in front. You know, we always have fun on Saturdays watching games at the office. Dallas, Nashville. This is a big game. Dallas is, you know, they're solidified in the third spot or whatever, wherever they are. But Nashville really needs these points. I mean, it would be nice to see them in the playoffs, but it just seems like they go on these runs. And like I said, Philip Forsberg, I mean, he was great. Then he wasn't. Now he's kind of picking up. We know about the goalies, but this is a barometer game for the Predators. Have to win that one.
Yeah, Philip Forsberg is, like, if I were to name maybe the single most disappointing player for me in fantasy this year, it's been Philip Forsberg. He's not horrible in terms of his Yahoo rank or anything. It's just I feel like that guy has been so inconsistent and has not he hasn't taken that step forward in his career that so many of us envision. It's too bad. I mean, he's still young, but disappointed in Philip Forsberg. Probably not drafting him next year in any leagues.
Just to wrap up here, my lock on Saturday's Wild on the road at the Kings. If we're not betting on the Wild right now, we're doing it all wrong. So go back to Minnesota. There's a lot of value there.
I thought it was cool that Stalock won at the Sharks. I mean, talk about a team with ongoing goalie issues, and they've held them back in previous years, and now you see Stalock having his breakout run, bringing the Wild into playoff contention, and it comes against his former team.
My lock is I think the Panthers are going to end that losing streak tomorrow against the Canadiens. And just so we're all aware, yesterday someone reached out to me. There's evidence. They asked me for two locks. I said, Senators over the Islanders, that was one, and the over Chicago Edmonton, which we all kind of knew that was over in the late second. So I want someone out there some money.
Well, then there you go. Play Davey's picks, play Davey's lineups, pretty much anything Davey's got going on. Hit him up on Twitter at David Satriano.
Yeah, and Chicago Fire. Chicago's on fire.
Oh, right, so. Right. Don't forget that.
And I mean, there are other people out there on Twitter telling you to saying that they bet the Ottawa Senators, right?
There were. I mean, someone said, Islanders have to win this, JP Pageau, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, they haven't won a game with the guy. The team's not playing well. Why would you think that?
I'm sorry. The person I'm talking about said they would bet the Islanders, and Davey said Senators. So yes. Davey wins the argument there. So good stuff from Davey. We're going to talk to you again next week. Thanks for everybody leaving the reviews. Leave some more, and we'll be back for a full week next week. Bobby's been traveling, but we had the Monday-Friday bookends, and looking forward to next week, guys.
So, Bobby, when's our show going to be on the road?
Put a bow on it, boys!
We'll see. We're pushing. So, for Bender, Davey Satriano, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Have a great weekend. Hit us up with questions. We'll talk to you next week.